1475 of the Pew Bible. And the heading is Warning Against Boasting. Now listen to me, you that say, today or tomorrow we will travel to a certain city where we will stay a year and go into business and make a lot of money. You don't even know what your life tomorrow will be. You are like a puff of smoke which appears for a moment and then disappears. What you should say is this: if the Lord is willing, we will live and do this or that. But now you are proud and you boast. All such boasting is wrong. So then, we do not do the good we know we should. So then, if we do not do the good we know we should do, we are guilty of sin. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God indeed. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We continue our journey through our September sermon series, Our God is an Awesome God. Today's sermon shall focus on one of God's attributes or qualities that God, in His wisdom, He chose not to share with us. And that is the fact that God is omnipotent. And that simply means God is all-powerful. Now, as we consider this attribute of God, a question that we will be thinking about is, how much does God control? How much does God control? But I must also say that this question, it's more like helping us into understanding God's omnipotent attribute, because that question is also begging other questions. Anyway, the first question, the question that we are thinking about, how much does God control? Now, Psalm 139 from verse 13 to 18, which we read, responsively, it says that God controls everything. Everything. Why? Because God is omnipotent. That is what the psalm says. And Proverbs 19:21, scripture says, you can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. So you can plan, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to do it. But you know, it is the Lord's will that prevails at the end. And Ephesians 3:20-21, it says God can do anything. Basically the passage says God can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ever ask, imagine, or think. So, in other words, God can do anything. The Pew Research Center in the U.S. found that some Christians believe everything about God, everything about God as written in scriptures, until it gets to the point where God is in control of everything. You see that? So when it gets to the place where, scripture is saying, hey, God is in control of life, of our lives, then they start to kind of go backward. They just decide to kind of move aside because it doesn't make sense to them that God has all that kind of power. So if God is in control of everything, including our lives, you know, why does God control everything? Why so much power? Why so much control? Again, Psalm 139 says, because the omnipotent God, which is the all-powerful God, is the architect of your soul. He is the architect of my soul, because he created us. And the way the psalmist put it in verse 13, it's just awesome. The psalmist said, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. So God has been involved, you know, in your life right from the beginning. You know, it's not something that God later thought about. You know, I should get involved in Kavita's life now. No, that's not. But right from the beginning, God has been in that life from the beginning. And interestingly, the Good News Translation, you know, which we read, it translated a Hebrew word, you know, in English, created. But that word is more like saying materials. It's more like saying materials. So it is looking at God more like an artist who went and gathered materials, who assembled materials, and then begin to make humans, you know, in the innermost parts, and then wove this human being together in the womb. However, there is another worldview. You know, the psalmist is saying God is omnipotent. You know, God is all powerful. God is in control of everything. You know, why? Because God is our creator. God is our maker. God is the in charge. But of course, there is another worldview which claims that the unborn is not a person, because a person is more of a person after birth. One of the best books that I have, you know, that I have read in my undergrad is a book titled Pro-Life Answers to Pro-Choice Arguments by Randy Alcorn. Randy noted that long before a woman knows she's pregnant, there is a living, growing human being within her. How so? Here is what science, you know, what science said. Now we can go to the next slide, Leon. Good. Between 5 to 9 days after conception, right, the new person retreats into the womb's wall for safety and nourishment. Just in less than 10 days, right? 18 days, the heart and eyes have started to form. 21 days after conception, the heart is pumping blood throughout the body. 28 days, the arms and legs are developing. 31 days after conception, the unborn has a brain and has multiplied in size 10,000 times. Also, their mouth, ears, and nose are taking shape. 40 days, the unborn child's brain waves and heartbeat can be recorded. 42 days, the skeleton is formed and the brain controls the movement of muscles and organs. So the psalmist declares that human conception is not an accidental process. No, it's not. But it's, you know, but it is an intentional one, which the Almighty God, the all-powerful God, started and closely supervised from conception. That's what happens. And in verse 15 of Psalm 139, the psalmist said, the same God who was involved right at conception, who was involved in making us, is still with us, is still working with us, is still journeying with us to this day. The same God. So God didn't just say, hey, you know what? I have made you and that's it. You are on your own. You know, there are some people who think in that way, right? They think, hey, you know, there is this powerful creator God who created all those things, and then he excused himself from his creation and said, you know, everything is now in your hands. That is humanistic. But that's not what scripture says. God is involved right from the beginning, and he will be involved to the end. And no wonder David says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And then praise the Lord Almighty. Again, why is God in absolute control? Why? Psalm 139 says, because God made us and he continues to journey with us, right? So, if God is in absolute control, how much does he control? Here is what someone by the name John Piper rightly says. The Bible is permeated by teachings that God's sovereign control is complete, not partial. It governs every aspect of nature, history, national life, personal life. Nothing, absolutely nothing, is outside God's sovereign governance. However, the way he controls all things may differ. Whether it's more or less direct or indirect, more or less by active intrusion or tactical permissions. Nonetheless, God's control is complete and immanent. Nothing in the universe is random or without God's design and purpose. We read James chapter 4. From verse 13, right? James said, come now, you who say today or tomorrow, I'm going to do this. Or, hey, you know what? That's what I'm going to do. In the next 1 hour or so, James said, hey, you are making a huge mistake. Because you are a mist that appears today and tomorrow. Poof, it's gone. That's it. It vanishes. So you ought to say, if the Lord wills. You know, recognizing God's sovereignty, recognizing his control. If you don't say that, if you don't recognize that, then that is boastful. That is you boasting, and that is arrogance. And boasting is evil. That's what James 4:16 says. Therefore, scripture says, it is futile to say, you know, I'm going to Edmonton tomorrow. Oh, I'm going to have, lunch with my friend tomorrow without submitting everything to God's will. However, the choices we make in life, you know, are of course immensely important because they have decisive impact on the outcome of our lives. They do. And I think that to think otherwise, it is wishful thinking. And that is why scripture affirms that God's creatures do disobey God, right? You know, that's the essence of sin. That is why we sin. That's why we say, God, we are sorry. Because, see, here is the point. Although God is all-powerful, God is in control of everything, but we still disobey God. But here is the good news. Though we disobey God, but it does not mean that God is not in control still. Because our disobedience has never taken God by surprise. God knows, God knew that we were going to disobey him. So God already has made plans. God already, he has seen everything. So that is how God is in control. Because God knows everything. God is everywhere. God is all powerful. So no matter our thoughts and response to God's actions and sovereignty, God is still in control. Once again, John Piper says, in fact, all of life, down to the tying of your shoelaces and the brushing of teeth, God allows it. God is in control, and he's right. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.